There is a photograph on my phone that I have looked at so many times the image has started to feel theoretical. A bruise on my left shoulder, the morning after. The timestamp embedded in the metadata, March 14th. The kind of documentation I learned to create after the first time. Because I read somewhere that you needed to document. So I documented. The family court judge looked at the photograph. She looked at my attorney. She said, "A single photograph, without corroborating witness testimony or a contemporaneous police report, is insufficient to support the claim being made here." My daughter was 6 years old. She was waiting in a room down the hall with a woman from the guardian ad litem's office. "I want to tell you what I thought when the judge said that. But I have learned in the past 3 years of this that what I thought in that moment is not the most useful part of the story. The most useful part is the mechanism. The way the system that was supposed to protect us became the instrument he used instead. He was good in court. I want to say that clearly. Because the version of this story that makes him a cartoon, obviously monstrous, obviously visibly dangerous, is not what happened. He wore a navy suit. He answered questions in a measured tone. He brought character witnesses, two colleagues, a neighbor. He spoke about our daughter with what sounded like genuine concern. He said he was worried about my mental health. He used the word stability 7 times in his statement. I counted. My attorney had submitted the photograph, 3 years of text messages that documented his language toward me, a written statement from my OBGYN who had noted bruising at a routine appointment and asked about it, and who I had lied to at the time because I was still in it and terrified. My OBGYN wrote in her note, "Patient presented with bruising consistent with impact, denied domestic injury." That denial I had made to protect him, in a room where the one person asking was the one person I should have told the truth to. That denial became evidence against me. The guardian ad litem had visited our home twice. She had spoken with our daughter. She had filed a report that contained a phrase I still see when I close my eyes. The mother appears to prioritize conflict over the child's relationship with the father. I had not sought conflict. I had filed a protective order after the incident on March 14th. The protective order was granted and then 30 days later vacated when he contested it and the court found insufficient ongoing risk. The vacating of the protective order was in the Gayal's report as evidence that the allegations were unsubstantiated. That is how the loop closes. You document. The documentation is found insufficient. The insufficiency becomes evidence of overreach. The overreach is noted by the person whose recommendation will drive the court's custody decision. And at the end of that loop is your 6-year-old daughter, in a room down the hall. I had stayed for 2 years longer than I should have. I need to say that. Because if I am honest about this, and the only point of telling you any of it is to be honest, I stayed because I was terrified of exactly this. I had read about family courts. I had read about what happened to mothers who left and tried to use abuse as a factor in custody proceedings. I had read that women who documented abuse were sometimes seen as manipulative, that women who filed protective orders sometimes lost primary custody when the orders were contested. I had that information. I stayed because I thought leaving was more dangerous than staying. The morning I finally left, a Tuesday in February, with our daughter in her car seat, and a bag I'd packed in pieces over the course of 3 weeks. I still wasn't sure I was doing the right thing. I was more afraid than I had been on any of the nights inside the marriage. He counterfiled within 30 days. His filing described me as emotionally unstable, as alienating, as having created a hostile co-parenting environment. He cited the protective order I had filed, the one that was vacated, as evidence of a pattern of false allegations. He requested primary custody. The final ruling gave us a shared parenting arrangement that weighted heavily toward his home during the school week. My daughter lives with me every other weekend and during school breaks. She is 9 now. She calls me on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. She is doing well in school. She sometimes says things that sound like things he has said, phrased the way he phrases things. And I listen to them and I say, "That's interesting. Tell me more." because the only thing I am allowed to control in this arrangement is how I receive her. The photograph is still on my phone. I have not deleted it. It is time-stamped March 14th, and it shows a bruise on my shoulder, and it was insufficient. I keep it the way you keep a receipt for something you know you paid for, even though the system says the transaction didn't go through. There are things I know now that I wish I had known before. That Tuesday in February, when I put our daughter in the car seat and left, I know that a contemporaneous police report, one filed the night of, however terrifying that felt, would have weighted the evidence differently. I know that a statement from my OBGYN made in the moment, not reconstructed from a note that included my denial, would have been harder to dismiss. I know that the phrase alienating parent is a legal tool with a specific function in custody proceedings, and that once it is applied to you, it reshapes every subsequent argument you make. I know these things now. I am telling them to you because you might still be in the part where documenting feels like enough, where you believe that the bruise, the timestamp, the text messages, the medical note will add up to protection when you need it. They are necessary. Document everything. But they are not always sufficient. And the gap between necessary and sufficient is where a great deal of women find out how the system actually works. My daughter will be 10 in August. I am taking her to see the ocean for the first time. I have been planning it for a year. Some things you hold on to not because they make the calculation work out, but because they are the only things that are entirely yours. The court said the bruises weren't enough. The question I cannot answer, that I still carry every day, is whether there was ever an amount of documentation that would have been enough, or whether the word enough was never going to apply to me in that room, regardless of what I brought.